Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome to episode number 84 of the Go Get That podcast. Whole squad is here per usual. For a little RBC Heritage preview, really fun course, usually a really fun week. But as we were talking a bit before, it loses a little luster due to being a week after the Masters. But we will try and keep our excitement up. I know Bob is feeling enthused about life right now. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it in his face, I'm sure. Bob, how are you doing today?
You know, we're just kind of just trucking along, you know, just one of the, that time of years,
Just putting in the
stay away, everyone, stay away, but, hopefully screen's length should be all right. I don't know what's up. I've been sick a lot recently, so I'm getting some blood work done, and maybe it's just allergies, who knows, but we'll see. Maybe I have like this new like disease, and maybe it'll be like the next big thing, you know.
We need positivity here, Bob.
Maybe I have like COVID-23 or something like that.
Okay. That would be chills.
No, thank you.
No thanks to that. Anyways, we have a tournament to preview this week.
We do.
RBC Heritage. Not my favorite event, but
interesting.
It has a special place in my heart, thanks to last year. It's a good course. You know, it's just like you go from the green jacket to that jacket, and it's just like, All right.
Jackets in a two.
But there are some nice traditions. It's a nice course. The cannon thing is pretty cool. It's a really nice golf course. It's never really fit Spieth's game, in my opinion. And I said that last year. You really have to drive the ball to keep it in the fairway here, which he was doing very well last year. This year, definitely a step backwards from last year. But still, I don't know if I want to say he can't win this week, but especially after the comments he made Thursday, I'd be very, very surprised if he won this week. So we'll see. I don't have many expectations, and I don't really care what this week looks like. I really just don't want him. I mean, I just don't want him to look like lazy.
That's a fair ask, I think.
Yes.
But last week was definitely mentally draining on him, given that he put a really big Sunday round together.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll hear what you guys think, but.
Yeah, I've went back and forth on this, and Dan's kind of said it's tough to go from the Masters to this week. Actually, I hate to give him credit, but credit to Ryan, friend of the podcast, for saying that Spieth needs to play high sack golf this week at the RBC Heritage. I kind of agree. World-class players, and that's kind of what Jordan's getting back to in terms of consistency, just don't take weeks off. Like, if you were a Scotty fan, Bob, what would you be expecting this week? Probably to be up there, right?
I'd be expecting a win.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how I'm seeing it. I mean, Jordan's got likely 3 weeks off after this week. I get he's fatigued, but, dude, you got 3 weeks to rest after this week. I expect you to show up and be a professional and grind.
Yes.
And, you know, it's an elevated event. It's not a small event. You know, I expect to see some grind, and I'd expect to hopefully be in the picture on Sunday.
Yes, you have 3 weeks off before your next event, not four. So don't let this be the start of the weeks off. You have that on Monday.
Yes. You mentioned the elevated event. Going to have to bring his A game. You mentioned concerns about fatigue. I kind of think he, you know, when he did his interview, it was like right after he stepped off 18 green probably. So he was probably feeling pretty tired. And I think that leads into a little bit of it. I'd expect him to still be kind of tired this week, but I think if he just freewheels it, he could probably find himself in contention because that's just how he's playing right now. my expectations for when he gets into in contention might be pretty low. But we'll see. I mean, it's a fun week. It's always fun to be the defending champ. Obviously, the cannon shot this morning. We're recording this Tuesday evening. He hit it around, what, like 1 o'clock or whatever. Davis Love said it was striped, so that's a decent sign, I suppose. But no, I think he's taken it laid low the first 2 days, which is good. Something you need to do after you said you're tired. So it makes sense. Good group as well with Rahm and Adam Scott. And it's a fun course. I do, you know, if we want to talk about specifics in terms of him winning, I think I felt like last year he hit a lot of bullet fades around here. And as we discussed in the Masters recap, Mr. Bullet Fade is not quite in the bag at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see. My guess is he takes hybrid off of tees more, because if he can't move it down there with the Bullet Fade 3-wood, he's going to have to lay back a little bit more and I guess hit a straight ball or a draw or something. But it'll be interesting to see the strategy. And if it rains a little bit, it'll change the course quite a bit. So
yeah,
fun week, a lot of good names. And I'm curious to see what big names will kind of separate themselves from the pack and really go for the title here, given everybody's probably going to be pretty worn out after last week.
I think, yeah, you kind of mentioned it. He hit a lot of bullet fades last year, and I think that's kind of what makes Harbortown cool in that aspect. We've noted it. He doesn't have that shot right now, but he doesn't need it, I don't think. I mean, you don't need to hit driver off of a whole lot of tees here. He can hit hybrid. Obviously it helps when you can hit that bullet fade and play more aggressively and hit driver a lot to leave yourself scoring wedges in. But Jordan Spieth's been really dang good from 150 to 200 yards this year. So just get it in play. I actually think his current game, I mean, I don't expect him to win this week. My expectations are high. I expect to be in the picture on Sunday. It's just dang tough to go back to back at an event. The odds are just not high. And I do think, there's definitely some fatigue. I mean, he's played a lot of golf, but at the same time, like, you know, tough it out, man. You're only 29 years old. You're not a senior citizen yet. You know, go tough it out there for one more week, and you get 3 weeks off as a reward. So go play well, and that's kind of my thought process behind this week. I want the foot on. He's playing good golf. World-class players. I mean, I'm sure Scotty's probably a little bit tired too. Rahm was out there grinding today on a Tuesday. Like, he's not stopping. And credit to Spieth. I did see that Spieth went out Tuesday at some point today to go to the range and work on stuff. So tough it out, and then you get some weeks off.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know, it's easy to overthink his comments about being fatigued. I think he just deep down is kind of tired, but I don't think that changes a ton. Again, I mentioned that he did that basically walking out of the scorer's table, so he probably felt pretty exhausted, right? And that influences your comments in the moment. So I'd expect him. I believe the injury report has him as probable to finish. I don't even think he should be on the injury report in that sense. But you know, it's definitely worth noting that this will be nine weeks out of 11. So
yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to be tired given like how many tournaments he's played. But as Jordan said, like, you're 29 years old. Like,
off it out.
Come on,
it's like golf for a living. Like,
you're not doing manual labor here. You're playing golf. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to pick targets. There are people stuffing boxes for FedEx, and you're playing golf. Like, why are you complaining? You know, and no offense. I mean, if you enjoy stuffing boxes, then congrats. But I don't understand the. I mean, if I was playing golf for a living, I'd easily trade places with him right now. So I guess it's easy to say from my perspective. It obviously is very draining playing tournament golf, but puff it out. This is these are your prime years health wise. So
I fully agree. And then I've been right after the Masters ended Sunday. Like, I think you probably treat the podcast as work, Bob. we all three of us, I think we treat our pages as work.
Yes.
We don't get, you know, financial benefit really, but that's not the point. But right after Sunday, I started diving into Harbortown a little bit. And there's a couple changes this year from last year. I don't know if you guys saw them, but there's a new tee on the par 3 7th. Mm-hmm. That hole is already brutal, and it's now 15 yards longer. Yeah. That was an interesting change. Now the rough. The rough is like, it's a 2.5 inches this week.
It's up, yeah.
So we're used to the waste bunkers being in play, but we're not used to rough being on this course. And if you hit it in the rough, like, it's going to be tricky. And the fairways are already small as they are. I'm interested to see what the scoring is going to be like this week, because the forecast doesn't scream like real difficult for as windy as it can be on Hilton Head Island. But the new rough, I mean, 7, I assume will play a little bit more difficult. But the rough, we should get some rain, so it'll probably be a little bit softer. I'm going to assume, well, Jordan won at 13 last year.
Yeah.
I assume you're probably going to need to go a little bit lower than that this year. But that's just a guess.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And I think the rough might be up a little bit because they're expecting some rain. Like a softer golf course, grow it up a little bit, make it a little bit tougher. In terms of draws, I think obviously tee times are out. Speed's off in the late, late Thursday, early Friday. There is the potential for some delays, particularly, I guess, potentially Thursday afternoon, but then also Friday morning, which kind of sucks. But early late seems to be the somewhat better draw if you're looking at bets or outrights or first round leaders for whatever it may be. So we'll see how much of an impact that really has, but it wouldn't shock me if it was half a shot, or potentially even 3/4 of a shot, depending on how much the wind blows. But like you mentioned, it's not anything crazy right now on the forecast. So but I think Jordan talked about this in his pre-tournament interview, just if they get some of the rain they're expecting, this course can kind of turn into a bit of a shootout. And if they don't, it'll firm up and it'll play really, really hard, especially if the rough is as high as it is, given how kind of narrow it is. So hitting greens is going to be important. And if you hit a green, that's a win, because you're not going to be that far from the hole if you do, regardless of where you hit it on the green. So definitely very different from Augusta. A lot more, if it's soft, it's a lot more like target practice, which is not great considering he said he didn't pick targets last week. But it should, in the end, it usually produces a good leaderboard and a very deserving winner.
Yeah, this is still like a target golf course, kind of. There will be a few 7-irons off tees. Like, it's, your mind has to be in it to win this week. And I think that helped Jordan Spieth last year, because his mind was super in it after missing the cut at the Masters. So we'll see what it is. I think we'll get a pretty early tell on how the week's going to go by how the first round looks. I could see him shooting a stress-free. Well, I wouldn't say stress-free. I could see him shooting a loose, like 66 maybe. But I could also see him shooting 75. So
that'd be unacceptable.
So I really don't know what to expect. We'll see. Again, I'm not going to put too much stock into this week the rest of the year. Because after this, we have a nice stretch. I don't believe we'll be at the Wells Fargo at all.
No, that's seeming less likely, just based on his fatigue comments.
When's that?
It'd be 2 weeks off instead of 3. Yeah,
it'll be 3 weeks in the Travelers appearance.
Yeah, it appears Travelers will be on the schedule. But
which is good for me.
It is good. We'll have boots on the ground.
We will.
Boots on the ground.
Maybe the Memorial as well. Maybe the Memorial as well. I don't know. I because if I did, I'd drive.
It's a Memorial?
Well, my friend would drive. Because my friend really wants to go. Because it's not a problem getting tickets. I can get tickets, but I've been traveling so much. We're going to the Bahamas next week as a family, and then just traveling for schools and stuff. I don't really want to take another plane. My friend really wants to go, and he offered to drive. So, I mean,
that's a nice offer.
Maybe it's not that bad a drive. It's like 10 hours, 12 hours. It's a day trip, but he enjoys driving, and it would be a good time. We'll see. But regardless, I'll be at the Travelers at the very least. So, because I guess he has to play the Travelers if he skips Wells Fargo, of course, unless he pulls a Roy, which I had to bring up because, again, no explanation yet is pretty embarrassing from him, in my opinion. No, I'm not going to back down from that take. He's essentially the one who set all these rules. It's just, I mean, to do it after a miscut seems like a whiny thing to do. I'm sure there are plenty of players who don't want to play this week. So
I want to agree with you, Bob, but I just don't know if there's something going on in his family that he just doesn't want to speak on yet.
Maybe, but
if it isn't, I fully agree with you. If it's fatigue or anything like that, it's a joke. But there could be something going on in his family that we just do not know about. He doesn't want to talk about.
There could, but at the same time, there was no reason for him to miss Tournament Champions at all. He's never played there.
Well, yeah, but he likes playing in Europe over there during that time.
Strategic alliance. Yeah, I mean,
right? Yeah, I think that if you're going to make that such a, if you're going to start this whole elevated event thing and then he's not going to show up to the first one, it's like.
Yeah, but I don't think he never plays the first one, really. I think that's kind of the point of it, is like that was the one he was going to skip and now something's come up. Again, if it's fatigue or if he's like not in a good mental spot after training so hard for the Masters and then playing so pathetically, that's one thing. But I kind of think there's something going on. We'll but that doesn't mean your take is invalid or anything like that. It's a very potentially valid take, right? It just, we just don't know at this point, and it's not a good look for Rory. I'd agree with that at this moment, at this point in time, it's not a good look. But we'll see. I mean, no Rory this week, no Jason Day this week, no
Hideki,
and no Zalatoris.
Well, no Zalatoris forever. Well,
not
that's
ever.
That's so sad. We didn't discuss it on the Masters recap. Will Zalatoris being out for the year. That just sucks, man. Yeah, I don't know a dude that doesn't like Will. He's such a good dude. Yeah. And he missed the President's Cup last year. And now he's very likely going to miss the Ryder Cup.
Unfortunate thing about Will also is that people his age don't have the back issues he's having. Like, that's going to be a chronic issue for the rest of his life. It's scary because that's the type of thing that costs you a Hall of Fame career potentially. So,
or a career in general.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
To be honest,
who knows what the swing will look like? But yeah, it's unfortunate to say the least. I don't know if you guys have any more about the course, but
No, I'm just, the nerd in me is very interested to see how it'll play with the new rough, just because we're not used to that. But
yes,
it's a cool course. It's different. There's not many courses on tour like Harbortown. I guess there's some shorter courses, like I guess Colonial. Like Harbortown's on the dang water.
Right.
It's cool.
And there's very few drivers.
Yeah, you can play it so many different ways. Like Dan said, I said it earlier, we don't have the bullet fade, but you don't need it around here. You can play different shots off the tees, and he needs to recognize that. Don't try and force the fade if you don't have it, because then you're going to be in bunkers, OB,
I think the fade, though, too, like, even with the 3-wood, obviously that was the shot he tried to hit at 16. I feel like I have some memory of him playing that shot quite a bit around here last year. Especially on some dog leg kind of rights, but we'll see. It's very important to hit the fairway because your trees and, you know, Spieth's an escape artist, unlike probably, you know, 90, he's in the top 98, 99 percentile of escaping out of stuff, but you can't expect to do that and play good golf, score well, I should say. So, Big emphasis on accuracy off the tee. We shall see if good targets and good swings are made Thursday afternoon. So, it'll be fun to play with. I will enjoy watching Rom play as well.
This course in particular?
I think this course could, like, suit him really well, but I also think he's got to be, like, exhausted, you know?
It could suit him poorly, and he could win by six. So.
He was out there on a Tuesday working. Like, I mean, that's what the best players in the world do, man. They don't give in. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear Speed talking about Fitz. Like, and Speed.
Well, I think you
today,
guys are overdoing those comments, though.
I agree.
They're like not. I mean, I don't know. He's just being very Speedian in his honesty.
No, I agree. I come Thursday, I don't want to see dumb decisions being made. And then, I just was out. I don't feel really good. But
yeah, yeah, that's fair.
That's more what I'm saying. I just don't want to see stupid mistakes on Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can. I think stupid mistakes happen when he's not mentally fatigued.
Oh, yes, very much so.
So I know what you're getting at. I know what you're saying, though. So I'd agree with that very much.
Yeah.
Bets. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can start since I'm at the bottom with my outrights. I have two this week, and honestly, the week before history doesn't matter as much here. Obviously, Spieth won here last year coming off an MC. Plenty of guys have done that in the past 10 years as well. So two outrights for me. One, Colin Morikawa. I've been waiting to jump back on the Morikawa train. The wind is not blowing as much this week, which means he's got a chance. This course, in theory, should fit him. He was in the final group I think 2 years ago when Stewart Cink dusted the field that year, which is crazy, by the way. But that's where Morikawa was at. And if he can just make some putts, he'll be really relevant. He played really well early in the year. So I think decent shot for him this week. He opened at 21. That's what I saw him at because I was up early on a Monday. And then Justin Thomas. I'm playing a lot of JT this week. I'll get into that a little bit more. But why not? I mean, he can't seem to putt right now. And Spieth couldn't putt last year and he won. So obviously it'll be a little different because all the best players in the world are here except Rory, so and Day and Hideki, but you know, you get what I'm trying to say. But in theory, this fits Thomas to a T, right? Like less drivers, more kind of shifty shaping three woods and good iron play inside of 150 yards. And he's got the good draw and he's motivated and it just seems like he's kind of due in a sense. So JT outright at 28-1 as well.
Yeah. I'll go next. I have three plays this week. Two of them are outrights. I low-key want to change my placement, but I'm going to stick with it. I have Lowry at 40-1. I took him 10 to win 410. That's sort of just a gut pick. I don't know much reasoning. He was in the picture last year, of course.
Well, he should have won last year.
Thankfully, choking. Realistically. Yeah. But
appreciate the Lowry camp.
What'd you say?
Appreciate the Lowry camp.
Yes, very appreciative. and then I have Cantlay 15-1, which was his early Monday morning number, as you said, before Roy withdrew. That was a nice number to get because he's like 12-1 now. So I have 30 on that. I think Cantlay's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder this week after the comments. I feel like he's going to want to prove some people wrong. He plays his course very well, of course, being in the playoff with Mr. Spieth last year. It's not a major, so
yeah,
I definitely think that Cantlay will be in the picture at the very least.
Yeah.
I wanted to switch out Kuchar for Cantlay top 10, but I'm not going to do it, so...
Cantlay is striping the golf ball right now. And he putted awful last week at Augusta, which he tends to do. But he has very good course history here. And it wouldn't.
These are very different greens than Augusta. Yes. These are sanded, I believe.
Yeah. He probably will win here at some point in his career. Could this be the week? Very much so. But it would not shock me if he and Xander just both peaked at the Zurich in a couple weeks and beat everybody by 8 again and kind of did that whole shtick that they do. That would be fantastic. But Cantlay winning would not surprise me at all. I just couldn't bite on the outright number.
No. I was going to say, honestly, Jordan, I'd love to hear your pick, but I think we're hitting it outright this week. I think there are just, I think there is a very select few amount of people that could win this week.
Well, I think we've picked four of the like 13 that probably could win this week.
Yeah.
If that makes
sense. I wouldn't go as far as to say Thomas could win this week. Thomas is in a slump, but.
But could he could win this week. Come on.
Could. I'm interested. I don't think Rom's going to win this week, but I'm interested to see who Jordan has.
So we were mentioning the Koreans. I just had to throw this in. The Poitrvallis Overseed. Very different from the Ben Grass at a national. And my outright pick is I have won this week, and I am also on Justin Thomas. So yeah. I'm also on 10 points, Dan. So you won't, we won't, we'll leg up on Bob. It's funny how we mentioned like JT's in a slump. It really like
that's not even that bad.
Exactly. Like honest. It's like I love to talk down on Thomas because I don't love him, but like the iron play is still like good. It's just not great. Like 100 to 150 yards, he's in the 93rd percentile. 150 to 200, he's in the 72nd, which I mean 2 years ago he's in like the 95th. So obviously a step back. I think short game's important around here. He obviously has that. He's what 28 to 1.
It just seems off.
And I agree with like the whole Spieth vibe last year of getting in early and like getting the work in. Like he's pissed. He's 28 to 1. I mean I don't see for 10 of my 100 points why he isn't worth it.
Yeah,
and it's a very weird week because like so many dudes I think are fatigued over last week, Spieth and included. I think he's coming in rested and he'll perform.
I'm pretty sure last year Mr. Spieth was like 45 to 1 to win.
Yeah.
Maybe even 50.
I don't know if you could find him at 50. I think you could find him at 45 though. For sure.
Yeah, cuz I remember
he might have been, 50 might have been out there.
Yeah. And I know I did not bet him that week for once. And I had to live, but
yeah. No, it's worked. I mean, right. Yeah, exactly.
We're not betting him this week, so maybe he'll win this week.
Yeah, honestly, like, if Spieth didn't say he was tired and his history as, like, defending.
Yeah, not a lot of people.
He's not at a bad number.
I saw a couple dudes on Twitter on Spieth, but probably not as many as he would have been.
Like, this, it kind of, I feel like Spieth wins when he's not really supposed to. And this could kind of fit that mold in a different way. Anyway, I don't want to get my hopes up too high, but it's possible for sure. So
that's possible.
All right. Yeah. Who placements? Who wants to start there?
I'll start since I already gave away my placement. So I have Kuchar top 30. Kuchar loves this place. He loves loves these greens. I've been on him all year.
Well too.
He's playing well. He's been a top 20, top 30, top 40 machine. I didn't want to take the minus 120 on him top 40, so I took the plus 120 top 30. That might come back to bite me in the butt. But
do you remember my key on Kuchar, right? My tip?
No.
The louder you scream Kuch, the better he plays.
I will take that to heart.
It's a proven science.
I will take that to heart. It's a proven science. I thought you were about to pull out some like nerdy stat.
Yeah, the louder you say Kuch,
the better he plays.
Once he said his tip on Kuch, I was waiting for like some joke about how he doesn't tip.
I wasn't going there.
I was waiting for some wordplay there, but no, it's good. Bob, let's hear your Kuch right now.
Not with this voice. I don't know. I don't know how it's gonna come out. I'm nervous to see how it sounds.
If he's top 30s, you have to do it.
Exactly.
All right, I'll give a massive 10-second, loud as I can, Kuch. If you top 30s,
I love it. All right, I gotta give my placement. I love my placement this week. This guy's played here twice. He has two top 40s. I'm going Christian Bezaden out.
Ooh, Bez.
Your max.
Twitter's gonna like that a lot.
Yeah. I bet him earlier this year.
He's a loser.
Maybe. It's only a top 40. You damn bet him top 40 at API and he missed.
And he bottled it.
Yeah.
Despite having three top 20s on his resume there.
Yeah. I love Zayden out this week. Like a lot. He's plus 135 to top 40. He's played here twice. He's top 40 both times. He's striping the irons right now. He's got a good short game, which I value around here, and he's putted these greens beautifully both times he's played here in 2020 and 2021. At plus 135, I love Bezeta now at the top 40. I have 35 of my points on that this week.
Love nice. It. Nice.
Thank you.
It's a good placement. I've also gone...
I hope.
I'm hoping course history is sticky here, which I think it is. I'm going... I said I was, you know, rolling with the JTs this week. So give me JT Poston to top 20.
Ooh, the fake JT.
Now, I don't know. Have you guys looked at JT Poston's history here?
I assume it's pretty good.
Oh, but I saw he made a hole in one on his second ball today.
Yes. Which, yes.
Congrats.
Is, so guess, he has four trips here. How many top tens?
Three.
Yep. Three yeah. Top tens, including a quiet T3 last year. And in 2020, he had a top 10 when the whole world was here after COVID.
I love that play. He's in good form. So.
And he's playing really well. I remember he was on Valspar coverage when he T10'd there, and he missed like three footers on the back nine to kind of slide his way out of contention. I think it was on Saturday, but he's playing well. He's got great history. I got him. He was at plus 280 to top 20 earlier, and that seems a bit like a misprice. I know a bunch of guys are here, but he's played really well here. He's playing well right now. It might make too much sense. So of course he's probably gonna like T56 or miss the cut or something like that. But
I'm putting that. I'm sending that to Elise right now because I think that is a fantastic play.
And give me some JT Poston on inside the first two pages of the leaderboard come Sunday's conclusion.
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any other plays?
I do.
I have one more. But Jordan, you can go ahead.
So I have a matchup that I'm putting 55 points on. He is a minus 122 favorite, so I guess I'm kind of taking the easy way out here.
No, some juices,
yeah,
good juice.
I like this a lot. I'm going Ryan Fox over Davis Thompson. Ryan Fox quietly had a great week at Augusta last week.
He definitely did. Yeah, he was on the coverage a lot.
Kind of flew under the radar. He's striping his irons well. Davis Thompson has completely fallen off the face of the earth since, what was it? The freaking American Express.
Yep. When he and Rom dueled out there.
I mean, he's been really, really bad. He has lost strokes with the irons like badly in three straight appearances. He's never played here. I don't know if Fox has played here either, but I think Spieth kind of mentioned it today here. This seems like a very good course to, you know, have played a couple times before you get good at it. Just because of the placement that it requires off the tee. So Thompson doesn't have that, and he's just not playing well.
Yeah.
His short game sucks. Like, I value short game around this place, as I've already said. Fox has a good short game. Just looking at our friends at Data Golf, I mean, Data Golf has Fox as the 74th best player in the world right now. They have Thompson at 151st. So I'm putting 55 of my points on Davis Thompson to get steamrolled. By the big man, Mr. Fox.
It's a nice play. I'm also going matchup, going a little three ball. I've been hitting my three balls recently. And I'm rolling with Justin Thomas again. I originally didn't have an outright on JT in my plans. But the more I look at his kind of profile and the way this week is playing out in my head, I think he could very much be slipping on that jacket come the end of the week. So, thankfully, a week late. But
the only jacket
I have him over Tom Kim, who again hasn't played here, and he's been kind of mid recently. He hasn't been as good as he was in the fall. He played last week at Augusta. He played the whole time. And I think this is a course where you need to know sight lines, you need to know targets. And I think in theory, it could fit Tom Kim really well going forward, but I don't think this is the year to press those buttons there. Other guys, Matt Fitzpatrick, I know he played better at Augusta. He was actually kind of making a move up the board when it was playing really, really hard on Saturday morning, which is not surprising. He does have good course history here, but that was kind of before he got longer. The longer he's got, the worse he's played here, which I thought was interesting. And he's got that neck, and he played Sunday. A lot of it is just that JT did not play Saturday. I guess nobody played Saturday afternoon, but he did not start round three and then did not play 20 plus holes on Sunday. And I think that gives him a bit of an advantage this week. So I'm rolling with him at plus 170 to take down Fitzy and Tom Kim. And then those are my four plays for the week.
Like it. I like the post and play a lot, which means it'll backfire, obviously. But
yes,
I mean, I'm looking at his page right now.
Who?
Poston? I could see him win this week.
Dude, I was thinking about it. I saw him at 75-1 earlier. I was like, he could.
He seems like a dude that could pick this one off, I feel.
But I didn't want to. I also thought about a top 30, but I don't know. Which was plus money, but I liked the three. I've been killing three balls recently, so I wanted to keep rolling with one of those and then still squeeze the, you know, what I don't know the terms for betting very well, but I just wanted a little more bang for my go get that
some point. Value.
Yeah, some value on a top 20 there. So
I like that. And I also think, like, I think we're starting to dial in, you know, you're starting to see we were all in the deep red. I think Jordan's prediction of us all being green by the end of the year is starting to come to fruition.
Yeah. It's tough with 100 points, man. Like it's very difficult.
It is. I mean, you can't really hit outrights. Like the outrights we've hit, you know, we've had 200 points.
Yeah.
And
you can play more.
Right. I think
maybe next year we look.
I've been thinking about it.
I also think too we've all just got a different like thing that we're good at kind of spotting. Like I feel like Bob, your placements are pretty solid.
Yes, I actually have a rundown. I think my placements are up for the year.
And I've been killing these three balls recently. I just jinxed it right now, so I'm knocking on some wood. But I mean, I hit Brendan Todd in a three ball. I hit two three balls last week, the three ball before. It's just easy to fade two dudes and fade one dude and ride with it. And of course, Jordan is very, very consistent across the board. So
I'm up 170 on placements and up 30 with missed cuts, which is basically just like, missed cuts, made cuts are basically just a form of placement, I guess.
Is that just woods in there?
A lot of those bets are woods.
Yes, and Fowler.
Missed cut, woods, made cut, Flower.
Did Flower hit? I don't think so, right?
No. Fowler, no. By the way, this would be a good...
Yes, because I had Flower made cut.
I was
because you had him top 40.
Yeah, I remember that. That was ugly. The thing with Flower this week, I mean, his like numbers are great. Have you guys seen his course history here?
His history is awful. I was just gonna say his history is terrible here.
Like 5 of 6 cuts. Like I just could not, you know, do that.
I almost took Flower. Yeah.
But it wouldn't, I mean, I don't know what he is for like a top 20, but dude's been like T15.
What's his miscut number? That's what I'd consider. Is it?
Yeah, no, I know. It's interesting.
Plus 160. He does not
play well here.
Just following Ricky Tracker on Twitter, like Ricky hits some just off the planet right now. And I mean, this is a place where, I mean, you could get in some serious trouble, which I assume he's probably done in the past. Just
for sure.
Trouble here.
There's not a ton of water, right? Some of the par threes have it. But it's more just like you can find some water.
You hit it. Yeah, I mean, the freaking like stats page of the course literally says that all 18 holes are in play with water. But I mean, in essence, unless you really hit one offline, I don't think that's the truth.
Okay. Well, because I think one is like you have to hit like a ground ball to third base to get in the water there.
Yeah, well, I assume like if one person has hit a ball in the water at any point in tournament history, they just say the water's in play, which I guess like It's possible, especially if it gets windy. Like, I don't think it's going to be that windy this week, but
yeah.
Oh, get, it's been crazy windy. Like,
it's in play on number 8. That's a big hole right there. 8. That kind of dog leg left green. It's kind of small, sits up a little bit above like a bunker on the side, and then it just goes straight into the drink.
Yeah. I know Bob was saying this course isn't one of his favorites on the tour. I don't know.
No.
What are you saying? Don't put, I won't put words in your mouth.
I was saying that it wasn't one of my favorite tournaments. I said it was one of my more enjoyable.
What's the difference between the tournament that you dislike and the course that you do like?
Yeah, it's just like it's a bad spot in the schedule. It's right after the Masters. So it's sort of a letdown week.
I was talking about this with Jordan after you left the Masters last night.
Left the Masters.
they have the Masters recap. They should move Mexico to the week after the Masters. Because, like,
Rahm would go there.
Or for Rahm, but, like, or just.
They should move it to the week before the Masters so that Rahm has to travel from Mexico.
No. But, like, because like then move it so Wells Fargo.
But then he'd almost be guaranteed to come to the Masters with a win every year, which would not be enjoyable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And because you can't move Craig Ranch after the Masters,
Ranch is a major, so it's got
to be. You can't have back to back. You can't have the Masters and then another major. You can have the Craig Ranch major and then the PGA.
Yeah. It has to be first. It would make the Masters the second biggest major in a 2-week span.
Precisely.
You can't have the Masters be first and then have a let and then have it be let down by a bigger major the next week, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, would people even show up to Augusta? Because it's not great prep for Craig Ranch.
Definitely isn't great prep. I think that you'd see a few people skip. I definitely think Kate would think really hard about skipping. I mean, know Spieth wouldn't, because Spieth loves to wear himself out mentally.
Right. Well, yeah, he would play 12 out of 13 weeks leading up to get great prep for Craig.
And then when he didn't win the major, he'd blame it on the...
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, I played too much.
No, but what I was going to say about the course, and there's only 3 of them, I think the par 3s at Harbortown are maybe the most underrated on tour.
I agree. I
think the par 3s of the
7's a great hole. 13 or 14, whichever one that is, a great hole.
Yeah, it's only 3.
So how many par 5s are there?
Well, no, there's 4. I'm sorry, I can't read. I'm sorry, Dan. Okay. So there's 4 of them, but I think there's some of them.
I was tripping for a second.
I couldn't even remember that there was...
It's par 71, I believe.
Yes.
Right.
I think there's 3. I love 17, too, with how open it is and how...
Yeah, 17's a great par 3.
It kind of reminds me of freaking 12 at Augusta, just because picking up the wind there is brutal. It's a good closing stretch. I wish 18.
Nice. We saw a whole bunch of missed putts on that.
We did. We did.
17. Well, except for Sepp Straka.
Sepp Straka then made bogey at 18. Thank you very much.
I think he made
in Spieth fashion, as they'd say.
Yeah, he hit the fairway because you can't miss that fairway, and then hooked it.
Oh,
into
he
the,
made a mess of that. Jeez,
hooked it into
the
shit short left, dumped it out. Over, ran it past, got it Ben in like 5 or 6 or whatever.
Thanks to the Straka cast, of course.
Yes, of course.
Thanks for making it a 2-man, though, 3-man.
Yes.
Man, so I'm just thinking here. We're wrapping this up, and we're going to have a recap, obviously, on Monday. And then we get 3 weeks and then another just massive. I mean, it's going to be a season-defining stretch 3 weeks from now, I would
say. So when I go to the Bahamas, I'll have to figure out how I'm doing the recap, but the legal age down there is 18 for everything. So I'm going to get a giant Jordan Spieth open ticket printed at the casino.
I love the sound of that.
Yeah. Just a massive amount on Jordan Spieth to win the open.
Love the sound of that.
Because there's plenty of value right now with Koepka and Roy completely overpriced. So
interesting. That is a good, use of going to the Bahamas, I do believe.
Yes, that's the only reason I'm going, is to print a
to play some massive speed ticket.
But it should be fun. Fantastic. I'll have to figure out how I'm doing the recap. Maybe I'll call in from my phone, because I don't think I'm going to
call in like a radio.
I don't think I'm going to bring my stuff. But
yeah, we've got Bob on the phone from the Bahamas. So how
What question would you like to ask, Bob?
Yeah, sitting by the pool, sitting by the pool, doing a podcast.
I love it.
Perfect.
We'll see then. Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back with the recap with Bob calling in from.
Yeah, we have a few other sports really getting into the thick of things. You know, well, the Premier League's getting into the end, but like the NHL and NBA playoffs are.
Yeah.
Starting up. Congrats to myself and Dan on having NHL teams in the playoffs. I know that all three of us hopefully are rooting for the Timberwolves tonight. hoping that the Lakers are out early.
Come on, Dan. I hope you're rooting for the team.
I mean, the Timberwolves kind of shot themselves in the foot the other day.
Still, it's a one game. Anything can happen.
Or you could say punch themselves in the chest or the wall.
Some dysfunctional group.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, when I look at the west side of the bracket, like the Warriors are going to the conference finals. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yep.
Like, come on. It's that they're going to own the Kings so hard, it's not even going to be funny.
Yeah. They're 6 seed and they're -400 favorites.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, the Kings don't really play defense, so it makes sense. But
nobody in the NBA plays defense.
Well, and to be fair, though, it'll be a
horrible league.
It'll be Kings Warriors might actually be a really fun series, but the Warriors win in like 6, I think.
And then they'll play the.
Then they get the Grizzlies or the old Lakers. I'm sorry, Minnesota. They're not winning tonight.
I will say it would be fantastic to get to play the Lakers.
But yeah, because the Warriors are the home team too.
And we'd get to eliminate Mr. James. Be fantastic.
And then they'll get the Suns in the conference finals, and KD and Chris Paul will be beat up, and then they'll just be playing.
Well, Chris Paul sucks.
I'm a little
title again this year.
And I'm a fair weather basketball fan, but I'm still a little afraid of the Suns. I feel like
they have one player that worries me. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Devin Booker is the dude that scares the crap out of you.
The Warriors have the best player of the generation, so
it's very true.
Yes, it is. It will be the Curry era. Officially, if he wins number 5.
Correct.
It'll be the Curry century so far.
Kobe had 5, I think.
Yeah.
That's a story for another day. But
let's say James is not in the conversation. So that's
okay. Let us
on that note.
Different conversation for a different day.
All right, everyone.
Good night. Take care.
Peace.